The military-industrial complex is now better known as the military-industrial academic and hospital complex, because America's universities and medical centers are not only hugely funded by the Department of Defense, aka the U.S. government, to conduct their gain-of-function dirty work, but you're about to see evidence that America's university medical centers are also being used to set up slave camps, otherwise known as healthcare centers. And you better also beware, because America's hospitals are creating sequestered areas called COVID wards or COVID floors, the modern day ovens of Auschwitz, so that they can continue to kill with impunity, and mostly with those in the healthcare system that are perfectly fine with this mass genocide operation, as long as they get their nursing or physician paycheck. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter some pretty heavy-duty truth in medicine. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. I'm your host, Dr. Jane Ruby. There's been an expansion of the military-industrial complex into the military-industrial academic complex, meaning America's universities have actually been happening over the last 100 years, this expansion, but now it's getting much closer to people's lives. It's getting more dangerous. Recently, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, was defeated in a lawsuit pushing back on her attempt to develop quarantine camps in the state of New York. And you know that'll spread to the rest of the country. But she's appealing that decision. Analyst and pharmaceutical expert Sasha Latipova is following the appeal and has discovered that the University of Rochester itself is moving ahead, converting empty and deserted shopping malls with hundreds of thousands of square feet in them to what's called healthcare facilities. This is a prototype, to be sure, and to look at more of the evidence, Sasha's with me tonight. So, Sasha, thanks for being here. This is a very concerning story. Can you give people a little bit of the background of Bobby Cox? She's an attorney, and this whole case, and she's like a one-woman pushback band, right?
Exactly. She's an attorney in New York State, and I believe she's it's not even her primary area of law. She's a real estate attorney, as far as I know. But she became a hero in New York State by essentially stopping this evil plan that the governor has to deprive people of any due process and to be able to essentially imprison anyone on very flimsy pretenses of invisible, scary, asymptomatic pathogens. This is outrageous, and also this ties in with the whole WHO International Health Regulation Amendments agenda, which actually dictate basically the same things globally, and incentivize gain of function, incentivize sharing of these of the most infectious and deadly diseases all over the world. So there's a lot of that is going on, and obviously Kathy Hochul is desperate to do that. And as I said, yes, I've heard from the locals. I used to live in Rochester, and I have connections there. I know from the locals that a large mall is being converted, at least in part, into a huge new healthcare center, even though University of Rochester already has an enormous campus.
Let's back up a little bit. So this is an operation by the University of Rochester. Hochul is hell-bent on getting quarantine camps areas set up. We'll be showing this on and off during this segment. This flyer, there was a hearing just hours ago. Of course, we don't know the results of hearings. You know, sometimes the justices have to meet before the appellate division. This occurred today in Rochester, the 4th Judicial Department. By the way, for the audience's edification, the appellate division in New York State is the highest court in that state. It is what you would think of as a Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court of New York State is organized to be under the Appellate Division. But just want people to understand the structure. So Bobby Cox, Attorney Cox, was there today for this, and like you said, she already defeated Hochul once. Now Hochul is appealing. That's why it's at the Appellate Division. So it may be a couple more months before we know the results of this hearing that just happened a couple of hours ago. This is Sasha, tell me if I'm correct. This is using, once again, the Public Health Emergency, you know, PREP Act, medical countermeasures to, Hochul is setting up her state and her own power to be able to shove people into these camps when they don't behave and don't take shots for the next round. And we know if it takes hold in New York, other states will start to fall. So
you're right, exactly. And it's not just because somebody is not vaccinated that they can do it. They can do it to anyone. So this is a perfect way to deal with any dissident, any political opponent, anybody who is vocal about anything that disagrees with the official government narrative. I mean, I come from the communist regime myself. I grew up there, so I know exactly where this is going. They can show up in the middle of the night, remove you or your children from your home, and your relatives don't even have the right to let your relatives know where you are, where you're being held.
Wow.
So this is incredibly evil, and people need to understand what's going on.
And I want people to support Attorney Bobby Ann Cox. So I just want to bring the flyer up one more time. We're going to continue to talk about it, but I want people to know very clearly early in the show that they can, she is... The hearing is over, but you can make a donation to the lawsuit at www.unitingnys, that's UnitingNYS for New York State, .com/lawsuit. And you can also follow Bobby on her Substack, which is Attorney Cox, that's cox.substack.com, and Twitter is @attorney_Cox. Also follow Sasha's work as well on its Due Diligence and Art on Substack. But I just want people to know all that. This is where you need to go. We'll revisit all that at the end. So Sasha, what are Bobby Ann Cox's chances? What are the chances that this appeal will be successful? In other words, it won't be reversed, because right now they're holding Hochul at bay with the first case.
Yes, I think the local awareness and local action by people is a powerful way to resist this. And first of all, everyone needs to be educated that this is what's going on. Notice that everyone is focused on the presidential election 24, and this is not where we should be focusing. That's a theater, that's a show that they're running, so that you don't notice these things. This is where you can make impact. This is where a vocal minority, even and just a few hundred people, can make a huge difference, as opposed to that theater of Biden versus Trump, which is not going to change anything at all, and it's just going to solidify the power of the evil people over the country. So that's why I'm really, really encouraging everyone: stop watching that presidential election nonsense. Start focusing on what's going on in your backyard.
Absolutely. And while they're showing pictures of Biden stumbling over his words, people are not paying attention to the fact their local leaders are setting them up for this kind of, situation and this slavery. You had a recent, I haven't even heard the details yet, but you had a recent personal experience that kind of underscores that the danger of our hospitals and our university medical centers is still alive and well. I did a show on it last week for Scott Shera, who's now broadened. He lost his daughter, of course, at St. Elizabeth's up in Ascension Healthcare up in Appleton, Wisconsin. He started out with, a mission to avenge her death. He had to watch it on a FaceTime. And so many more people that we're both aware of. My point of that show was that this is still alive and well, this hospital CDC protocol, and getting trapped. Tell us what your experience was. And it does relate to the University of Rochester Medical Center system, right? Fill us in on that.
Yes, exactly. This was recent experience. This is for those of you who think, or those of in the audience who think that, COVID is over and all of this is over. This was, something, some overreach and some mistakes were made in 2020 and no longer. Not true. So the hospital murder protocols are being practiced all over the country. I have personally witnessed this in Highland Hospital in Rochester, New York, which is part of the University of Rochester medical system. I have an elderly relative there, and she was admitted to the hospital because she had trouble breathing, and they diagnosed her with COVID. I don't know how. I have not verified that, and because prior to to admitting, she tested negative for COVID. Then they put her in the COVID ward, and then we witnessed exactly the protocol that's being practiced. Same thing was practiced on Grace Shara. My heart breaks for her parents. That's a horror. That's the worst
What
thing
a
that
horrible thing.
can
And to
happen to
watch
you.
it on FaceTime.
To watch it. So, but this is what happened with my elderly relative, and
Were
I
you
knew
there,
the.
Sasha? Were you in Rochester?
I wasn't there personally, but another relative was there taking care of her. There's several in the town. So another relative was taking care of her, and we were discussing all of this every day on the phone. And the first thing I said when they were even, planning to go to the ER, I said, you have to sign the health proxy so you can make it online, and I send them the link. You can so they did. They signed health proxy, which is power of attorney. Because without it, they will kidnap your elderly relative, and they will dictate what is to be done, especially if they're, frail or unconscious or not quite there or disabled, like Grace was. That's how they, and so that's extremely important. So then the next thing they try to do is, so when they went in, first thing, so they put her in a COVID ward. Then they try to isolate the patients from the caregivers. By fear, obviously, and by you have to like gown, regown, masks, all that to go in and out. And the caregiver person said fine and did it every day, multiple times a day. Went in there into the COVID ward and did not get sick. Okay, so like it's not dangerous. They're just telling you
The
this
COVID
to
ward.
prevent you from going there and being a witness to what they're doing. And also at admittance, when they were admitting them, and with the health proxy, they said, "We will not. She will not get remdesivir, and you have to put it into the chart. So you have to record it. You have to talk to everyone there." And they did. They talked to the doctor. They talked to the nurses. They put it in the chart. The staff was trying to argue and push for remdesivir, but they said, "No, we absolutely do not want it. It has kidney site. It can." Cause kidney failure, and therefore it's dangerous, and so we don't want it. That immediately created hostility from the
Of
staff,
course.
because now they're on notice. Now they know that we know what they're doing, and that makes them feel bad about themselves because they know that they're committing crimes. And so anyway, but in any case, so he was going there every day, checking on her. And so the next step of the protocol, they try to dehydrate the person. They refuse IV fluids. They even refused to give her apple juice. And they said that the hospital was out of apple juice. Right?
Wow. Are there names that you either have available to you that you are interested in sharing? Because we will make them famous on this show.
I would like to, except the very interesting part is that they hide their names.
They hide their
And
names.
they hide their names. And even when asked, that was my
Wow.
first thing, I told him, try to get their names. He tried. They point blank refused to give their names. And
Wow.
the bags that they wear only have first names. And even then, they try to wear them in such a way that you can't read them.
Are there any names you can share?
Well, there are names for the hospital overall. So, like, people also need to understand that the COVID ward is a separate enterprise from the main
How
hospital.
so?
Regulated.
How so? I've never heard of that.
Yes, it's regulated under a different set of laws. I'll cover it in a minute. Let me just try to get you. So, I think
So while you're looking that up, Sasha, let me just say for the audience's sake, and I didn't know about this until it was over. That if in the future, and still ongoing, if any of you out there have a situation like this with a relative, even if you think you can still get them out of there, but when they start you down that path that Sasha just described, which is very should be very well known to a lot of you from this show many times, and where somebody is in there and they're really, they're getting hostile, they're forcing, they're overly encouraging, that's the time really early. Send me a note at drjaneruby@protonmail.com because we do have rescue systems. I'm not talking about people busting the doors down. This is peaceful, legal, lawful, but it is effective. We have people on, they don't have to be in the exact city you're in, but we have people on the West Coast, like Dr. Bill Lionberger leads a lot of rescues. On the East Coast, I can't say the names, but there are some very effective rescue systems, and they will contact the hospital. They know exactly what to say, the legal things, and they will help. And I'm sorry we didn't talk about that ahead of time, Sasha, but I do want you to explain that you just dropped a bombshell. As far as I'm concerned, this is Highland Hospital, which is on Highland Avenue in Rochester, New York. I know it well. It's my hometown. And it is subsequently used to be an independent small hospital, subsequently became under the arm of the U of R. It's called Strong Medicine because the University of Rochester, the hospital itself used to be called after Henry Alva Strong, Strong Memorial Hospital. Now it's the University of Rochester Medical Center, and Highland Hospital is under that umbrella of healthcare system. It's a healthcare system, like Ascension in the Midwest. Hundreds of systems or hospitals under it. So take it away, Sasha. Tell us why the COVID ward is run in, you know that it's run differently or it's under different sets of laws from the main hospital.
Different set of law and funding. So like the names that we were able to obtain is for it's names for the hospital, and they're on the board. Like, you're supposed to know who is providing healthcare to you, and so when you walk in, there are names on the board. So there's James Nightingale, who is an MD.
That's a suspicious name, last name.
Yeah, suspicious name, but at least he's identified with a photo and a name. And chief of nursing is James Putney.
Can you spell the last name?
Putney, Putney.
Okay.
BSN and RN, his degrees. And so these two individuals are identified on the board as,
on the board in the patient's room. And Nightingale's credential was what? RN MD. As well?
No, he's MD.
MD. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. We'll find him.
So those two are identified for the hospital. However, when you're in the COVID ward, it's a different, you're in a twilight zone. It's a different set of laws and different funding and different regulations apply. People don't realize it, but it's just a space rented by the Department of Defense, essentially. And
how do we know that? Sasha, how do we know that?
Because all of this falls under COVID countermeasures. And all of COVID countermeasures are contracted through those contracts that I've reviewed many times. It's not just the vaccines. It's everything, including this. And remdesivir, obviously. And the fake tests and masks and swabs and staffing. And importantly, propaganda and lies. So the propaganda and lies are also funded through the same set of mechanisms, same set of contracts governed by the same laws. So the main thing that they use is PrEP Act as a shield. It's a liability shield. And I've also reviewed it on my Substack several times. I recently published an article with excerpts from HHS legal opinion letters that were sent to all healthcare providers, including, I'm sure, Highland Hospital, because they're practicing this. And in those legal opinion letters, the HHS explains PrEP Act to them and how to make sure that you stay within that legal liability protection offered by the PrEP Act. And the main things that they explain, there are a series of these letters, I reviewed two of them. They explain that, so remember that PrEP Act, the way it's written, it's, we provide liability protection except willful misconduct. Willful misconduct is carved out as. However, when you look in the regular law, the way willful misconduct is defined, it's different from how HHS explains what willful misconduct is or isn't under PrEP Act. And the way HHS explains it, it says, number one, if you follow our guidelines and protocols and instructions of how to use the covered countermeasures, of which remdesivir and all these COVID protocols,
right,
murder protocols are part. So if you follow to the T everything that we tell you to do with regard to the covered countermeasures, then you are considered a covered person for the purposes of PrEP Act. And if use of covered countermeasures resulted in death or injury,
wow,
and you followed our instructions to the T, and you reported to us within 7 days of that happening, it's not a willful misconduct.
Can we get a copy? Do you have a copy that
yes.
you can share? Okay, because we'll if it's a link to the letter, we'll post mm-hmm. that. If you have a copy, we will
yes.
add it to what we're seeing on the screen.
Yes.
Because that's really the license to kill.
It is
so,
the license to kill.
Yeah.
And also, they also explain that the way people can, you know, sue, for example, under this for death and injury, they're saying, okay, so the way to do it, you can only do it in one court, district court in D.C., three-judge panel. You cannot do jury trial.
Wow.
And you have to prove that the death was caused by the countermeasure. And even when you did all this, then, as I explained before, if they follow the rules and regulations, they're covered.
Right, they have a shield. They have a shield. Sasha, we've got to take a break here, so I don't want you to go away. I'm just going to have a quick word for the audience. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Sasha about the fate of her relatives. So you don't want to miss the second half. But before we take this break, I want to share some important information with all of you. All of these factors are contributing to not only an unstable economy, but the overarching reach of this out-of-control government committing crimes to wipe out hard-earned retirement savings. I've partnered with the number one gold and silver company in the United States, Augusta Precious Metals. You need a plan to protect that paper money, and I can't think of a better place than the people at Augusta Precious Metals. Zero fees, high ethical standards, and an A+ rating in customer service. Please call them today to learn more at 888-836-1890. This fascinating expose with Sasha Latapova continues when I return. I have a special announcement for you. I've negotiated an unprecedented one-time special deal for 25% off everything at airwaterhealing.com, but only until midnight, September 30th. You will not find this anywhere else, not on any other show or channel. The promo code is RUBY25. It's live now and you still get free shipping. So go to airwaterhealing.com for all of the Triad Air Purification products. Never change another filter. Stop shedding symptoms and eradicate allergens and mold from the air you breathe. And check out the rest of the website for many more health-promoting products. That's airwaterhealing.com. This special promo code is RUBY25, but only until September 30th.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow. Towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept.
I really love the towels. They're really great. They're super absorbent.
I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know we're having the biggest clearance sale ever. Get our six-piece towel sets for only $29.88 with your promo code. My towel sets are made with proprietary technology and include two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get our six-piece towel sets. Originally $99.98, then on sale for $49.98. Now we're closing them out for only $29.88 while supplies last. Once they're gone, so please order now.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Jane Ruby here. Many of you know that I promote products that I believe in and have vetted, but I also promote products that I use myself. I want to introduce you to Cardio Miracle, the world's best nitric oxide supplement. I'm getting reports from not only the general public, but from experts like Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, a frequent guest on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. He's a treating doctor and experienced commercial airline captain, and he's reporting that Cardio Miracle is making a difference in reducing the symptoms in the jabbed, protecting people from the effects of the microclotting caused by spike proteins. It's delicious, and I mix the scoop, one scoop, in 8 ounces of water twice a day. For those of you who've taken the jab and are concerned about your cardiac and circulatory health, my conversations with Dr. Kevin Stillwagon and Josh Yoder from U.S. Freedom Flyers in an upcoming interview on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show will show you them describing the benefits and the reports they're getting. So check it out at mypowerheart.com. Learn more and try it for yourself. That's Cardio Miracle at mypowerheart.com. Enjoy. Welcome back, everyone, to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. I'm really pleased to have analyst and pharmaceutical expert Sasha Latipova. Sasha, welcome back. In the first segment, you were just a major bombshell after another, that these hospital, the death protocol, the implementation of it is still alive and well. And you explained how they're even teaching these hospitals how to use the PrEP Act to shield themselves from hired murder. And then what I want to get to, if you want to say more about that, let's get back to that. But I did tell the audience we would save to the second segment the fate of your relative who just went through a hostage sort of situation with a forced protocol at Highland Hospital, part of the University of Rochester Medical System. So let us know what would the outcome of that was and how this all relates to the PrEP Act protections.
Right, so I want to repeat that these COVID wards in hospitals, or if they start opening Marburg wards, they will be under the same, because we have now two PrEP Act protections, COVID and Marburg. So whenever you hear that COVID ward or Marburg ward, you have to immediately understand it's not healthcare. It's not subject to the state level medicine regulations and laws, or healthcare or malpractice, or patient or consumer safety and patient rights. They don't follow these laws, and they don't have to by law, which is a perverted law that they put in place. And the key piece of it is this PrEP Act. There are other statutes that are being utilized, but the PrEP Act is number one. It gives them the liability shield, and you're absolutely correct, it's a license to kill. It's a license to operate these wards as killing centers and gaslight the families and patients into thinking this is a healthcare. So for example, I would like to say, you know, just to continue on what happened with my relative, when they refused the hydration and even apple juice, then later on, because they realized that we're, you know, sophisticated, she herself is a doctor and retired, and you know, the person who was taking care of her is highly sophisticated in healthcare. They realized that, and so they sent a family counselor relation, some sort of a family relationship counselor, from the hospital to gaslight them, and so they went in. And they said, oh, you know, we just have these protocols where we don't treat dehydration in this hospital. That was the exact quote.
What?
We don't treat dehydration. And we also don't treat your other conditions that you have, such as blood pressure problems and so forth. We only focus on COVID.
So this is, they sequester you into a unit that then is the free-for-all murder. It's like a gas chamber. It's like an oven. I'm going to use those terms. But so that's where they can get away with it. Wow. I'm just blown away.
And can you imagine coming and telling a person with a straight face that dehydration is good for you?
That we don't treat dehydration.
Or we don't treat dehydration in the hospital. In what world, on what planet is that okay?
Sasha, I used to teach nursing in a university. I can't even fathom how these nurses are doing this. So you're saying that it's not like it's an occasional thing, so they don't really see how bad it is. These are nurses and nurse practitioners and residents and medical aides and things like that, patient care assistants, that are concentrated working in this unit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're dedicated to this unit. And because we could not get their names, their full
names.
I don't know who they are. I don't know if they're licensed in New York State. I don't know if they're really nurses. I can't verify that.
Wow.
So that's a big question in my mind. And they're funded by the Department of Defense and HHS, federal government, directly. And under these COVID protocols and under PREP Act, all of this together, while, you know, I'm not saying I can prove it definitively in case of that person, but this creates a package of evidence that tells me that there's something really wrong going on, and this person may or may not be really a nurse.
Wow.
So, and also another thing is, you know, that's even if they are real nurses, even if they are really licensed in New York State, they have self-selected over this process of 3 years of this campaign against people. These people have self-selected into the personnel that is now dedicated to this kill protocol. And the reason they were, you know, you cannot really interview people directly for qualities like, are you going to be willing to commit mass murder as long as you follow the orders? So you cannot really ask that question in the interview. But what you can do is what New York State has done and Highland Hospital has done and URMC has done is put people into the conditions where they will self-select. So through all these protocols, mandates, masking mandates, isolation, treating families like they're criminals for 3 years, everybody who had any shred of conscience already left. They left and they don't want to be near COVID ward in the first place, and they probably have left the entire system. Now what remains are people who, first of all, are okay with all of this, and now even self-selected into being dedicated personnel on this.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that they are starting to, like, you know, shrink it into these dedicated COVID kill wards because they had some trouble along the way with people with a conscience and they wanted to weed them out? I mean, is there any information or discussion intelligence that you know about relative to that?
Well, I mean, clearly this is what's happened. So they have created these wards. The wards are running, the staff is completely dedicated. That's not the staff that's out there on other floors. And so what I see is going on. They're keeping this warm operational base of this protocol, standard operating procedure running and churning. And killing people there so that they can ramp it up at any time. So if they want to have hysteria this winter, they already have a base from which to scale. They want to then implement this in that mold that they're converting, now they have the keys.
Let's talk about that. What you're talking about, and I've watched it, looking at the news with Governor Kathy Hochul, you're talking about a specific mall that I'm very familiar with. It's hundreds of thousands of square feet. It's called Marketplace Mall, and it's in a suburb, sort of a very urban, close to the city center, called Henrietta, New York. It used to be anchored by stores like Macy's and Nordstrom and places like that. With, you know, it's a huge mall space, and anyone can go online now and see that the University of Rochester Medical Center is filling those spaces with healthcare. Right? Orthopedic center and these other, I don't know if people are aware, the University of Rochester is like, it's almost like it's multiple city blocks. It's a huge university, the medical center. I don't know why they would need all that space about 2 miles from the university, but I didn't want to interrupt, but I wanted to give people a little more of a context for the transition of these. Beware of malls, big malls that are now empty because of the COVID scam and the destruction of local economy. Be aware of transitioning them into these FEMA camps, right?
Exactly. So first of all, the University of Rochester Medical Center is one of the largest employers in the U.S., definitely in New York.
In the U.S., not just Rochester or New York, right.
And it's huge. It's a huge system. They already have a huge campus. They have buildings all over the place, other locations, not just main campus. And now they need to convert Marketplace Mall. Like for what? And Rochester is not such a hugely populated area. It's probably the greater Rochester is something like 1 million people.
Correct. And the other
So,
thing I was going to say was when we talked about the dedicated COVID wing at Highland Hospital, Highland Hospital, relative to Strong Memorial Hospital, which is the main medical center at the U of R, is tiny. It's very small. It's actually, it can't grow physically that much because it's butted by Highland Park, the famous Lilac Park. It's butted up by huge amounts of residential area. There's no place to
residential,
go.
yeah.
So it's tiny. It doesn't need a COVID wing, but if the DOD is looking, like you say, for a place to scale up to and to dedicate to keep only the ones that'll keep their mouths shut while they're murdering, I get it now. Wow, this is big news. Big
Yes, so
news.
and this is how you scale anything. Okay, I mean, I run businesses. This is operations 101. If you want to have some sort of a process which involves people handling, steps, that's how you do it. You have a small team, you iron out all the kinks, and you figure out how to do it, and then that team trains the next layer of people.
I
You
see.
know, so that's why they need it. That's why they need this knowledge base and practice. And also all the gaslighting and light, so like they need to also create this whole visibility of this being healthcare. So all these gaslighting,
Right.
sending a representative to tell to family that, oh, we don't treat dehydration, just because we're focused on
That's
your COVID.
like saying we don't treat infection in this ward. We only look at, we don't treat staph infections. We don't treat, whatever else. We don't treat heart attacks, so we're gonna have to move you, It's absolutely absurd. And I also wanted to make mention, I know you know this, Sasha, but the University of Rochester campus, which is huge, the Highland Hospital and the Marketplace Mall are all within the same neighborhood, relatively within a 2 or 3 mile like sort of radius of each other. These aren't at various parts of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So other things that we noticed from this protocol, they would deny other meds that the person needed. And usually, elderly people have multiple conditions. So she needed medication to actually increase her blood pressure. They would not feel it for several days. And when
Oh.
repeatedly asked, they would argue and say that, oh no, but our guidelines are that her blood pressure needs to be like at this level. And we're saying, but at this level, she's going to pass out. And they're like, but our guidelines. And I'm like, exactly, because they're trying to make her fall so that it just the next steps, which is sedation and ventilation.
Let me ask you a question. Oh, so did she get to sedation? And what was there
No.
any ever any discussion of ventilation? Not yet. So she was in the middle of the protocol. Tell us how her the disposition of her situation turned out.
So we thought they did try to sneak remdesivir at night. When
Oh.
nobody was watching. At that point, I became extremely, extremely worried. I called, we talked on the phone. I was like, I told you so. They're gonna try this. She's now physically in danger. They're gonna try to make her like progress to the next step. And so we need to try to get her out. And so at that point, we went like we raised stink. She has actually improved because we were preventing them from doing all this, and we were making sure that she's getting proper care. And then so she improved within about a day from there, and we were able to get her discharged. And the thing is, nobody, again, they will try to pretend like they decide when to discharge, but they don't. If you have a health proxy, you can walk out anytime. Before in 2020, they would kidnap people and
I
like you
see.
talk
So
to
was
talk.
she able to say, look, I'm doing well enough, and the family said we want her to be discharged? Was it against
Yes.
medical advice where she had to sign that form?
No, I don't think that it was against the they at that point they kind of gave up. But what they also
Okay.
tried to do, so we were able to get her out. She's feeling much better now. We hired home aide and a nurse privately, and but she's bossing everyone around and doing well.
That's a good sign.
So thank God. But the thing is, they even after she was discharged, a day later, they still tried to get her back. They called and they said, we decided to discontinue this medication. And then pretended like they talked to her about it before a discharge, but she's sharp and with it, and she's a doctor herself. And this is one medication that she's taking that cannot be discontinued abruptly, otherwise you can have a seizure. And guess what? They want to discontinue abruptly the medication that might give you a seizure, so you get readmitted.
Oh my
And
gosh. Well,
And
where was
so
her primary? Was there some guidance from her on the outside, her primary caretaker, physician, or?
The primary care physician, you know, was prescribing her meds, regular meds that she was, you know, prescribed, but they wouldn't fill it. And so the primary care physician didn't have any impact on what happens in the COVID ward. The COVID ward would like run their own protocol.
But when she got back home, isn't it then between her primary and an external pharmacy, like, you know, whatever, compounding? Big box.
Yes, exactly. So that medication was originally prescribed by the primary care physician, but then the hospital calls her and says, we decided to discontinue.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, what? And then they were always blaming stuff on Epic system. That's another gaslighting tactic.
The digital recording, right. The medical record system.
Medical record system. So they're always saying, oh, Epic system doesn't let us do it. So because they want now all these big camps be run by AI, and Epic is their AI. And so they want to also gaslight people into, oh, you know, the big AI made this decision and we can't overrun it.
So ridiculous, but dangerous.
So anyway,
I don't mean to laugh.
Just know all these tactics. Be aware of this. This BS and gaslighting, stop praying to the white coats. You're in the COVID ward, they may or may not be even the white coats. I don't know who those people are. They're demons as far as I'm concerned, and they won't give their names.
Wow. Hospitals creating a murder chamber by designating a COVID ward. I mean, that's really the big story of this whole thing. Sasha, we have a few minutes left. What do you most want people to know? First of all, I'm glad your relative made it through, but it wasn't without, not just because she was sharp, but because you had all these advocates and they had you on the other line. I know you're on the other side of the country. But what do you want people to best know? What can they do to protect themselves? It's just such a sad, dangerous state of affairs. American hospitals are very dangerous.
Absolutely. So my number one recommendation, stay out of them entirely. Especially COVID wards. I think, you know, regular locations in the hospital for other things, and okay, they may be overrun, understaffed, and, you know, they may forget things, but they are not, as far as I know, they're not actively trying to murder you. If you get into the COVID ward, that's when the murder starts.
Wow.
So that's why stay out, in general, stay out of hospitals. Absolutely stay out of COVID wards. The way to stay out of COVID ward, number one, do not test for COVID. Do not test for
That's the beginning of the line. Can you, did they test her without her knowledge and then say, hey, your test was positive? How do you, because you, if you I refuse still, it, I do recommend people refuse it, but aren't they going to say, hey, we can't treat you? You know.
Well, so I'm saying just even outside, like if you get any flu-like symptoms.
Of course not. Don't test.
Yeah. And in the hospital, I would probably refuse, but I mean, I don't know. It just depends. Like if you absolutely have to go to ER and there's some sort of life-threatening situation, I can't tell you what to do. But outside, like what was happening even before, so she started getting sick and she started getting flu-like symptoms. That's when she tested negative. And then she was calling, or her caretaker was calling the ER and or in the hospital before even going there, just trying to figure out like, should we go, shouldn't we go? Are you like busy right now? How long is the wait going to be and stuff like that, right? So they were telling them, they said, oh, keep testing until you get a positive and then we'll prescribe antiviral.
Oh my God. Did they try to push any antivirals on her, like Paxlovid or Molnupiravir?
Yeah. That's what they were trying to push
on
her. They were like, oh, you just keep, yeah. They're like, it's a good thing, you know? Oh, you know, just keep testing until you get positive. Then you'll get this, like, wonderful drug.
You know, this story of yours and the expose about the COVID ward now that they've evolved to a COVID ward is really a proof positive. People write to me a lot. Hey, Dr. Jane, you know, I'm trying to talk my sister into getting her fourth booster. You know, what evidence do you have? I mean, the evidence is rolled along, but I mean, I don't think that you need much more evidence to know that this is an operation. This is an intentional operation.
Yeah.
And it's a long haul. It's like Catherine Watts said, it's a kill box. Yeah, the duration is permanent. And it's just going to keep going. And you're going to have to really be aware of information like Sasha's bringing. you know, to protect yourself, to be aware that, you know, they've got these procedures, the COVID ward. Is that what they called it, by the way? What did they call it?
I think that's what they call it.
Did they?
Yeah, the COVID floor or COVID ward.
Okay, you're positive. You need to be moved to the COVID floor.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's where we have the nurses and doctors that are murderers, and they don't have any problem
with it. They only care about your COVID, nothing else.
They only care about your COVID, not your blood pressure. You can become dehydrated. You can starve to death. Were they feeding her? Just, I'm curious.
Yes.
A little bit?
I think they were, but it was kind of like bad food as usual. And, you know, the caregivers were bringing her food and trying to make sure that she does eat. And, you know, giving her attention and, you know, care. So it was a nightmare. I was at some point when they tried to sneak remdesivir, I became terrified. Honestly, I was calling everyone, trying to get advice from my friend. I got really good advice from wonderful people. Thank you, Mary Holland, specifically for your advice and prayers, and it worked.
Awesome.
So that's, you know, that's what I want people to know.
Angels. And I want the audience to know, don't forget, if you find yourself or your loved one in a situation like Sasha's relative, please do let me know at drjaneruby@protonmail.com. I can put you in touch with some great people across the country that are very experienced and very good at. Luckily, Sasha, you and your family had the advocacy in place, and with your information and knowledge, and the patient herself was a physician, so you guys were able to manage it by the skin of your teeth. But most people don't have those advantages. So please contact me. We don't want to see anyone killed by these hospital systems. I'm sure it's still happening every day. So Sasha, just before we close out. I want to give you, you know, just the last word on anything else you want people to know that you're working on, anything coming up, anything you want to share before we say goodnight to you.
So I advise everyone to follow my Substack. That's my main source right now of information, where I publish everything, including these PrEP Act explanation letters or legal opinion letters from HHS, and I will forward them to you as well.
Good.
But that's where I put detailed information with links to sources.
How to kill.
You can verify that yourself. You can read it yourself and tell me that I'm wrong and I misinterpreted something, but I am providing the source material. So please follow me on Substack. It's Due Diligence and Art, or you can find me sashalotipova.substack.com.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing in closing. And the reason I always stay connected to you and have you on the show and all that is because I've told the audience many times, I watch someone's consistency in their narrative, in their work. Can they back it up? And you have never wavered. And there are times when, you know, the powers that be are coming at some of us, and maybe through intermediaries or anything, and it doesn't matter, because what's really important is, you know, are you always there? Is your message consistent? You're not sold out, that kind of thing. And you are always about the evidence and the data, and I'm really, you know, pleased to always work with you. So thank you for everything you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you for speaking with me.
You bet. We'll see you soon, I hope, the next time. Because we want to get a report on, we'll talk to you about the results when the court comes back in a couple of months or so from Bobby Cox's appeal. Well, that's it for this edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Thank you so much for joining me. Be very careful out there. And I'll see you tomorrow morning on Coffee Chat. Have a great night. We'll be right back.